All right, choir, come on up and get ready to start the service.
All right. Thank you, choir. I hope that's your testimony as well. Hymn number 42, we like to sing around here, Saved by the Blood. So everybody take a hymnal, stand and join us. Hymn number 42, we'll give you a chance to find it. And everybody stand and join us. To the chorus, look up and really sing. Give it all you got, all right? On the last.
Saved by the blood of the crucified one. All hail to the Father. All hail to the mind. All hail to the Spirit, the great Creator one. Saved by the blood of the crucified one.
Saved.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes, sir. Things are a little different. I'm a different person from what you normally see right here, right? But we want to welcome you today to Anchor Baptist Church. Today is Pastor Appreciation Sunday here at Anchor. So we're giving the pastor the day off in terms of leading the service, and we're letting him enjoy the service today without having to worry about all this stuff that I'm going to be trying to handle as best I can today. But we just want to say welcome to you. It's going to be a full service with all kinds of special things. We got Brother Scott Couch here going to preach to us here in a few minutes, and you're going to enjoy that. But let's get our hearts right for worshiping the Lord and honoring our pastor today on Pastor Appreciation Sunday. I'm going to ask Brother Shelton Starling to lead us in a word of opening prayer.
Father, thank God for your goodness, your mercy, for many blessings that don't God, that we didn't know about you, Lord God, always a certain way. I pray, Father, that you bless the first day, bless our pastor and his life in a certain way, dear Lord God. Thank you, Lord, for their dedication, Lord God, their leadership and the guidance, Lord, that they follow you. I pray, Father, that we do be followers of them, dear Lord God, as they come lead us. Yes, thank you, Lord, for all that you've done for us. Thank you, Lord, for what you continue to do for us. Pray, Father, for Brother Titus to lay his hands for the message. Pray, Father, may he preach, Lord God, with the power that only you can give, dear Lord God, and may someone come to you as their personal Savior today in a special way. I pray, Father, for those that are maybe away from you, dear Lord God. I pray, Father, may they get closer. Thank you. May the altar be filled, dear Lord God, and may people make decisions and rededicate their lives before, Lord, as we today approaching of your coming. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Thanks for the schedule around a little bit, but I'm not yet.
The steps of a good
Changing the schedule around a little bit, so I apologize. We're going to sing a song. Okay, the choir is going to go down. We're going to sing a song later, so we'll have the choir go down. You stand, and we've got a lot of visitors and special guests, so y'all shake hands and be friendly.
right, it looks like everybody's about seated. I think y'all are done before I was ready. Got a lot going on. I appreciate your patience with us as I try to coordinate all this. And as you can see, we can work on our communication a little better up here, and we'll get it worked out. As long as the Lord's in it, then he'll have his perfect way. Even if we try to mess it up, he'll make it right. So I hope he does that for you today. Welcome again to Anchor Baptist Church. We have so many special guests here today. I'm going to try to get through all these and make sure I don't forget you or forget your name. Number one, I'm going to say it's good to have Sabina back from Oregon. She's been gone for a couple weeks now, but glad she made it back safe. Good to see her. And we have some special guests today. Like I said, the Cowicks are here. Brother Scott's going to preach for us, and he brought Josiah and Nathan, his boys, with him, and his mom is here with him today as well. And this is a special occasion because Mrs. Cowick has a birthday today. So give me a key of G, and we'll just go ahead and sing to her right now. How about that?
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, God bless you. Happy birthday to you.
Miss Cowick, we appreciate you spending your birthday here supporting your son as he preaches for us. We're so glad to have you here. And like I said, Pastor Appreciation Sunday. And so part of that appreciation is that the pastor's, pretty much all of his family is back here. Miss Kirchinger, his mom, and then Ken and Jeff and BJ are all here. And I hope you'll welcome them. Thank you all for coming, celebrating this day with our pastor. And, of course, Jeff and BJ just got saved recently. And I tell you, talking about your pastor being appreciated, I just sent our pastor and his wife over the moon, and he hasn't stopped talking about it since. And we as a church are so glad about that and glad to have y'all here. And of course, we have some visitors here. We don't have any. We have one first-time visitor. That's Matthew right here. He's Dunlap's oldest son. Is that right? And so good to have Matthew here for the first time. Y'all welcome him. We have some folks that are back that have been here before. Victor's back with us. Thank you for coming back, Brother Victor. And the Thompson family's back again this Sunday. Good to see y'all. And good to see Travis and Stephanie here as well. And so we got a great crowd here this morning, so we appreciate that. And like I said, today's Pastor Appreciation Sunday. So we're going to have, not right this second, but we're going to have some special presentations that our Sunday school classes are going to be making in honor of our pastor. We'll get down to that in a few minutes. And I want to say, I had a couple people ask me, if you maybe aren't in Sunday school or maybe you're a visitor or anything like that, and you have something for the pastor, I've had a couple people ask me, you can give that to him at whatever point you wish to, after the service or whatever's most comfortable for you. We encourage you to do that. When we take our offering here in a little bit, I would say this too. If you want to bless the pastor in a financial way, if you want to do that, how about drop that in the offering and mark it on an envelope that is for the pastor? We'll know exactly what to do that, and he'll get every penny of it. And that's mainly for the folks that maybe aren't in the Sunday school classes, that they have their own things they're doing this morning. So we appreciate all that you can do, and I know he'll appreciate it as well. Let me give you some announcements while I'm up here. For today, the ensemble is meeting at 4 o'clock to practice, and then the choir at 4:30. So we're getting really geared up for Christmas when we start having ensemble practice early. So, ensemble, you know who you are. Meet here at 4 o'clock, and then choir practice at 4:30. And, of course, tonight is our baptismal service for McKenna, and she's over here. And we're looking forward to baptizing McKenna tonight. She got saved a few weeks ago. And we're also, after the evening service tonight, we're going to be having a fellowship for in honor of our pastor, Miss Judy. And I think all the ladies already know what they're supposed to be doing for that. So if you have any questions about that, see Miss Inez, and she'll answer any questions you might have. So we encourage you to come back. We want every single one of you to come back tonight. It's going to be another special service. We're going to be celebrating the new birth of a young Christian and then also having fellowship afterwards. We want every one of you to stay. Other things going on this week, the Rusty Anchors have their meeting on Tuesday at 10 a.m. this week on Tuesday the 13th. No, that's not right, is it? Today's the 4th. Catch that, rewind. Not this Tuesday, but the following for you Rusty Anchors. So if you come this Tuesday, I'm sorry, that's my fault, but you won't be nobody here, so don't do that. Wait another week and then come on the 13th. This one I know for sure is this coming Saturday is the WTBI Share-a-thon up in Greenville. Our choir is singing. There has been a change in that, by the way, choir. We're going on at 11:30. Is that right? 11:30. We were going at 12. Now it'll be 11:30. So that changes what time we'll leave the church. I put down here 9 o'clock, unless anybody has any objections to that. 9 o'clock, leaving the church choir here. Now, we can't all fit in the van, but we normally take a big caravan up there so everybody can follow each other. So choir will be here at 9 o'clock on Saturday. We're going to have a good time in the Lord up at the WTBI Share-a-thon. And also, those of you who go, the church is going to take care of your lunch when you go up there, just in case you might be worried about that. So I don't encourage you to come. We appreciate you so much doing that for us. And, of course, if you're not in the choir or you can't go, if you want to listen to WTBI.org, WTBI.org, they live stream 24/7, I guess, on there. And so they'll be streaming while we're singing. You can go on there at around 11:30 and you'll catch us. We're just so looking forward to that. I think that's all the announcements I have, unless I'm missing anything. A lot of stuff written down. All right. Just stay busy for the Lord. We got Christmas coming up. As soon as all, you know, this Sunday is over, we're going to start really honing in on those Christmas events and announcing those, making sure those get on your calendar to stay. All right, now, what we're going to do right now is we're going to have the Sunday school classes, at least a couple of them, come up and make presentations in honor of our pastor on Pastor Appreciation Sunday. And we're going to let the junior class go first. I'm getting a signal. So y'all, come on, y'all. They want you up here in the front. Let me grab a mic. This fine group of young folks here. Okay, Dante's going to talk.
So this represents pastor of our church, and we are the sheep. We made this project for you. We love and appreciate you because you give great messages and prayer over us. Thank you for your love. We love you.
I'm going to call Shelton up now for the teen class. We also have something. I guess y'all can stick around here if you want.
I just want to say thank y'all for everything that y'all do, and thank you for being here for us whenever we need you, and just preaching out of the Word of God, not going astray from the path that He leads you. Also, thank you for being here and supporting Him, because you are a vital part of this church.
We all thank y'all, and we love y'all. Y'all are a blessing, and how y'all lead us, like Ryan said, it's and you're staying by the stuff. You know, we hope that we all can hold your arms up, your hands up when the battle gets hard, and I pray that we continue to do that. But we love y'all, and we appreciate all y'all. We do have this from our class. We do want you to open something in here. I know, on box at least. There you go. And the card, something in the card for both of you, but that's for you, Pastor, too.
Autograph.
All right, I'm not going to have the young adults come up here and stand around the pastor, but young adult class, stand, if you will. Okay, and you can, if you're a young adult, I try to recruit all the time, so young adults are always welcome in my class. We're doing our traditional, we got pastor a card and some notes of appreciation, but we always take pastor out. We like to spend time with him, so we'll take him out to eat probably around Valentine's. We usually do it a couple months late, so around Valentine's Day, and so he doesn't have to buy a meal for Judy later on. But we do appreciate pastor and his support of not only our class, but everybody in the church. So let's give Pastor and Judy another hand. All right, and some of you are already standing, but let's everybody stand. Take a hymnal, 249. 249, Heaven Came Down and Glory Filled My Soul. And we'll put the tag on it after the third verse. So let's sing the first verse, then the third. the third the other. Now I've a hope that will surely endure.
Okay, here we go. We got a couple more presentations here. We got the ladies' class coming, and they're going to make a presentation in honor of the pastor, Miss Judy, now. So if you can, if you want. You're getting a workout there. And you should sit on the front row, and then you. Here's the ladies' class. Y'all want a mic here?
All right, and one more. Y'all stay right where you are, Pastor. Are you going to set it down? All right. I'm representing the adult auditorium class. All you folk in the adult auditorium class, stand up. It's not going to make you come up, just pastors in that class. All right. Thank you. You may be seated. And y'all can be seated. Wait, Ralph. And my mind goes back to many, many years ago when we were in need of a pastor, and we... I look back on it. It's real funny when I look back on it now, but it wasn't funny at the time. We were talking to some folk about Pastor Rick. He wasn't our pastor yet. And boy, they had this to say and that. And finally, one of them guys in that meeting said, "Just what kind of pastor are you looking for?" I said, "The one you're describing." That was true back then, and it's still true. We thank God for our pastor and his wife. What a blessing they are. I get a double blessing. He's in the Sunday school class. And I'm like Brother Tim. Any of you ladies or men not coming to Sunday school, we got a good class right here. Hope to see you next Sunday, okay? Pastor, Miss Judy, this is more for Pastor. I bet you'll get to enjoy it too. Open that up right there, Pastor. We've got a whole bunch of gift certificates for car washes because he likes those car washes. And boy, at the car wash place, they know our pastor at the car wash place. So God bless you. God bless you very much, Pastor. God bless you. Amen. Sister Judy, God bless you.
All right. Thank you, Sunday school classes, for all you've done for our pastor today. And in the past and in the future, I know they appreciate it. Now, what we're going to do right now is another very important part of the service. We're going to take up the tithes and offerings. So let me get my ushers to come up. This is an important moment of worship in our service every time we meet. And that's where you can honor the Lord by giving back a portion of what He's blessed you with in the last week. And like I said, if you tithe, mark that. If whatever you got. Now, I just want to mention this. We're not going to take a love offering, Brother Scott. The church is taking care of Brother Scott, just so you know. Unless the Lord tells you to do something for Brother Scott, of course, listen to him. But just know that the church is taking care of Brother Scott today. So we won't be taking up an offering after the service. But this is for your tithes and offerings and any special designations you want to make that you feel would further the Lord's work here. That'd be wonderful. I'm going to ask Brother Rick Richardson to lead us in a word of prayer for the offering.
Ryan introduces Brother Scott further, have the Anchor Trio come in to sing for us.
I love to hear how Satan trembles at his name. Make me recall how Jesus broke my yoke of sin. Someone preach it, someone sing it, how it's all because of love. I rejoice when I hear about the power of His blood. I want to hear about the blood and its power. Tell me what happened in that ninth and final hour. Show me the wounds of the Savior. Tell me how I'll live forever. I want to hear about the blood and its power.
It's been removed from many places or watered down, but here's the truth, it is how the lost are found. And that sweet fountain from the mountain that's called Mount Calvary, it's a story old as time, but it starts a fire in me. And I want to
hear about the blood and its power. Tell me what happened in that ninth and final hour. Show me the wounds of the Savior. Tell me how I'll live forever. I want to hear about the blood and its power. Show me the wounds of the Savior. Tell me how I'll live forever. I want to hear about the blood and its wonder-working power.
I want to hear
about the blood and its power.
Thankful for a pastor that preaches straight and strong the message of the blood and its power. And we have a pastor like that, don't we, folks? That's not something we should take for granted. You know, Paul was such a man that preached the blood and its power straight like that. And if you read through the book of Acts, in the book of Acts, you see these miraculous days where thousands of people were saved. And but you know, that's really before Paul came on the scene. If you really read that. And as you follow Paul around the book of Acts, you really don't find that many times where Paul preached and just miraculous multitudes of folks got saved. A lot of times, I know our pastor will say amen to this, the first thing the devil wants to do for a pastor's heart is to have him focus on a number or a response that he may or may not get. And Paul realized that he was not responsible for the results of his preaching. He said, Apollos, I planted, Apollos watereth, but God is the one who gave the increase. And really, more often than not, you find Paul in the New Testament getting run out of town, being arrested, being beaten. He was told, not today, Paul, I got maybe a more convenient day is coming up. He was told, almost you persuade me to be a Christian, Paul. You find all that. But at the end of the day, Paul was able to have that testimony. He knew, I have fought a good fight. I have kept the faith, even though a few verses later he said, you know, only Luke is with me at the end. So it was only after Paul died that just the unfathomable impact of Paul's life was felt, because he went where God told him to go, and he preached what God told him to preach, and he wrote what God wrote and what God told him to write down. So we want to encourage our pastor and also encourage all of us
Sometimes you don't necessarily see the results that you want to see when you're planting those seeds, when we go knocking on doors and when the pastor preaches. But God says we will reap in due season if we faint not. And it's not about a number. It's about faithfully doing what the Lord told you to do. His hands were tied behind his back as he stood before the court. The Apostle Paul was facing death again. Someone said, "This man has preached that Jesus Christ is Lord." We say, "Let the scourging now begin." He felt his body tighten, the blood began to flow, and between the stripes, Paul just sang his song. If only just a few believe, I will tell of Calvary, I will be a witness for the cross. If only just a few are saved, I will go in Jesus' name. I will share my story with the lost. If heaven celebrates when just one lost soul prays through, then I'll give my all if for only just a few. Paul remembered well the time when Timothy was saved. He was just one out of all who heard the news. And for months across the little town, preaching Jesus is the way. Some days he convinced just one or two. Were they worth his suffering as the soldiers left him laid? Through the tears they could hear him say, if only just a few believe, I will tell of Calvary, I will be a witness for the cross. If only just a few are saved, I will go in Jesus' name. I will share my story with the lost. If heaven celebrates when just one lost soul prays through, then I'll give my all if for only just a few. I may not see great numbers come to know the Lord, but if I'll keep on working, great is my reward. If only just a few believe, I will tell of Calvary, I will be a witness for the cross. If only just a few are saved, I will go in Jesus' name. I will share my story with the Lord. If heaven celebrates when just one lost soul prays through, then I'll give my all if for only just a few. Then I'll give my all if for only just a few. I'll give my all.
trio for that. Well, Brian's coming to introduce. He said he needed a few seconds to think of more good things to say about Brother Scott. So, ready. Get your Bibles ready.
Brother Scott Cowick is the first name we thought of when we thought of someone we could bring in to honor our pastor by preaching the word. The pastor and him go back a long ways. And the pastor, I know, thinks so much of you, Brother Scott. I know he would tell you that. And so that's why we invited him here today. He's a wonderful preacher of the word. I want y'all to give him your undivided attention as he preaches the gospel to us. Hi, Brother Scott, come on up.
First of all, I want all of you to pray for me. I'm always nervous. There, I cut that thing on. Sometimes I forget to do that. When Brother Brian called me, I was coming down the road and I saw a number coming through there. I said, Columbia. I was like, is there any good thing to come out of Columbia? And I thought, the only people I really know in Columbia are y'all. You know, and I thought, well, I looked at that thing and called Brother Brian back or either answered. I can't remember exactly how that was. He started telling me what was going on. The first thing I said is, does he know this? I knew he would never ask me to come down hither. I said, does he know this? And I went back the year 2001, just like that. Now that's about the time he was there. It was about the time I really started working. I left UPS and started working at Tabernacle, and somehow or another, me and Tony Mangum decided we was going to give Preacher Leonard pastor appreciation time right about there. And boy, we did. After we were done, I was appreciated. It was over. Boy, I went out. Back then, they didn't have digital things. And I had one of those little tape recorders, you know, you hold like this right here and mash that button. Tapes, them little things. A lot of y'all don't know what they are, but I'd go to the nursing homes and I would get people on the phone and I'd hold the phone down to the thing and get them to say good things about the pastor. Boy, I was so excited. Me and Tom, we people come in and all this other kind of stuff. We had a wonderful time till the next morning. My soul. He said, boys, he said, I'll tell you what, if y'all ever do that again, he said, y'all are fired. I said, and I hadn't even been there long. Doesn't quit UPS too. I said, it won't happen no more. Don't have to worry about that. But it was on. And if any of you saw the pastor's birthday video party thing, if you look on YouTube, Bobby Leonard's 80th birthday, they put it on there. Those last three or four were some of those I taped. I thought it was safe to play them again after about 18 years. But I still had that tape, and I gave it to Noah, and he put it on there. Preacher Rick, Miss Judy, I could say so many things. So many things. I remember there at the school, Miss Judy at the school, and Bethany, and everything going on there. And remember his car. He came over, and he kept that car spotless. You remember that? He had that car, and I mean, it was always, he's just been the same. Just talking about car washes, well, that car there, it was spotless. It wasn't a whole lot, but it was spotless. I remember that. He was always, I can see him in the office, and I remember him visiting, going with us, and cutting grass, and doing, and those senior saints trying to be good to him. Remember that fateful day Miss Allen called us over there? And we had all been helping Miss Allen. She was the widow that actually gave the church a lot of money later on after he left. But she had a concrete floor. She had a concrete floor in her house, and y'all know how that normally is. Well, she had some people come in and lay hardwood, Brother Jeff, had laid hardwood on top of the concrete. And that's not the easiest thing to do. And she loved her hardwood. She was old school. Well, she invited us to come in there that day. Here we were sitting at the table, and she was bragging. She said, here, y'all like my hardwoods and my house and everything. And she said, hadn't nothing never been spilled on this floor. And Andrew said, watch this. And do you remember that, Andrew? I wonder if you do. Well, he spilled his stuff on the floor, and I was so thankful my kids wasn't there that day. Because they had no telling. I got more stories of Miss Allen. She was a pistol. But all the senior saints loved Brother Kirchinger. I loved him. He took me out there and he taught me how to work on the playground, and we built that thing out there, and it's still standing. Brother Matt Moore is a false prophet. It didn't come up the next week. My heart sank. We was driving in three foot pieces of rebar to cumber the ground, but that thing's still there. Testimony. to Brother Kirchinger out there. That was wonderful. And then I remember him. He don't probably even remember this. I remember it well. He tapped me on the shoulder one day. He was coming out of the choir. And he said, "You ever thought about leading the choir?" I was like, "No. My soul, no." And I think he was just trying to get me out from beside of him. And that was where the seed got planted, I guess, preacher. Got in my mind that I don't think I'm a choir leader. Well, somehow or another, I do it every now and then. So, youth choir, so that's where that come from. I can remember a Monday after he had came down and preached, come back in, and then I can remember hearing that somebody else was the pastor, and he just kept on going. And then I was there in that office over there where my desk was, never in it, and got the call back for him to come back. And I thought, how about that? He's just been faithful. I appreciate Brother Kirchinger. I can only say Brother K, but I think that's probably too waxhawy to say Brother K. I call Brother Jeff now that he's born again. Hallelujah, glory to God. I say Brother K, and I don't want to miss K. I call her Miss B. So I call her that, but it's wonderful to see them there. And then Brother Kenny's right there. Thank God. Family right there. And then so much I can say about Miss K. The teacher there, being there, getting after Miss Stephanie, and Miss Stephanie getting saved. What a difference there. And for being there, working in the daycare, taking care of all that stuff. Wonderful Shigella memories. God tested us twice with that junk. And I think the city was testing us just to try to get rid of us. And then she can really bring out the best in truck drivers. If you'll get her to tell you that story sometime. But she was so glad to be out of the daycare. Amen. Saying all that, I love you, Brother Rick. I really do. You've made an impact on my life. You don't know that, Miss K. And the kids. Got pictures of Andrew out there in the backyard. We had a great time at that camp out 100 years ago, it seemed like. My children and down there tying knots and starting fires. And not bears didn't get after us, but cats did. Jumping on the tent the next morning. But the family's been great. Y'all been good to me, too, by the way, all of y'all. And I appreciate being here. Y'all got a great pastor. And he's been the same as long as I've known him. Pray God keep on helping him, making him the same. So appreciate you. I wouldn't have tried to preach in front of you for nothing in the world. I wouldn't have. I was like, "Brian, you better be sure about this thing now. I don't think I'm supposed to be hither." Amen. So if you get fired the next morning or he calls you to divorce Bethany or something, let me know. Now, no, but thank you. Thank you for having me. And I really pray that God may use this for His glory. I've prayed about it. I've thought about it ever since He's called and worked on it and not worked on it like this, but up here. I don't never get things quite like I want them. All right, I guess it's preaching time. Yeah, everything ready? Y'all pray. I don't never know. Y'all hide the clock in here. Oh, my goodness. All right, let's see how this goes here. I'm going to set that thing, I think. All right, let's pray. And y'all ask God to help y'all. Fill y'all with the Holy Ghost to listen. Answer any question you may have or say, "God, if there's something in me you want to talk to me about, would you please do it?" Would you do that? Amen? All right, and let's pray and get started. Lord, I love you this morning. My God, and I thank you for the opportunity and the pleasure and the blessing of letting me meet the Kirchinger family. Lord, and even being around his brother now, my God, the difference he's made in our life. He's there at the church. Thank you for the Kirchingers, Lord. And I don't know Kenny that well, my Lord, or his mom, but Lord, I pray you'd bless them all, Father, for what they've been. The Calix, my Lord, what they've been to this church, my Father, and how they helped and how you've used them as a tool, my Father, to build up. Lord, and I pray now, help me get lost, Lord, in my preaching. Holy Ghost, just take control of my mind and my mouth. And if I've formed things together that you don't want, let them slip away, Lord, like the manna melting. And God, somehow or another, get out of my mouth what needs to be said. Use it for your glory. my Lord, and help the people inside of this room, Lord. Would you please, my Lord, and the people that can be affected from the seed that blows through the air. Lord, I never know where it goes. God, I just trust you that you'll do something. Help us now, we pray in Christ's name. Amen. All right, I wish you'd turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. The book of 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. Paul wrote to the Corinth church. He wrote two letters to it, two epistles, two letters to the Corinth church. And Corinth is an isthmus. It was a seaport town. It water all the way around, and boats would go from one side and either sail all the way around, or they would have to cross over. Sort of like you can picture going across Florida in some way, if you would like to think of it that way. And they even got to the place that they would pick the boats up and towed it across and put it down because it was much safer and quicker to do such. Everybody knows that sailors cuss. You cuss like a sailor. So it's a very carnal type of place, and all this stuff going on there, you know, it was like Sin City. It was like Las Vegas and all immorality and all these things. Well, Paul said that's a good place to start our church. And that's good. You know, we don't think like that, but that's what he did. It was like Sin City, Corinth, Sin City. He stayed there 3 years, and all kinds of folks got saved, and he wrote these letters. So that's where we're at. But we're going to start reading in 1 Corinthians chapter number 3 is where we're going to be at. He is writing to them, and like I said, they are carnal. He called them that. They were fleshly. They didn't really operate by the Spirit. If you'll see that in 1 Corinthians 3, let's start verse number 1. We'll hurry to where we're going. He said, I, brethren, could not speak. Now, he's calling them brethren now. I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, flesh, even as unto babes in Christ. Boy, I'd hate to say a baby forever, wouldn't you? He said, I fed you with milk and not with meat. For hitherto, ye or y'all were not able to bear it. Neither yet now are y'all able. He says, for ye or y'all are yet carnal. For whereas there's among you envying and strife and divisions. Anytime you have envying, anytime you have strife, among yourselves trying to be superior, or divisions, you're carnal. Even this day and time, God wants unity. How brethren dwell together in unity and as one mind, as the Bible says. Now look what he says here. He says, verse 3, for ye are yet carnal, for whereas there's among you envy and strife and divisions, are ye yet carnal, walk as men? For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, y'all not carnal? That's what that ye. More than one, right? Y'all carnal. He said, who then is Paul? Who is Apollos? But ministers by whom y'all believe, even as the Lord gave to every man. Now I know Preacher Kirchinger. I know Pastor Kirchinger. He probably don't like being in the spotlight and all this kind of stuff. And, you know, all we are is tools. All we are is tools. Just like everyone in here is a tool. If you're a Christian, you understand? God has purchased you. You're not your own. You're bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are His. You're bought like a tool. Now all tools don't look the same. Did you know that? I love tools. I like working with tools. One day I was praying and the Lord gave me something in my mind about like sockets. Y'all know what a socket is? Y'all know what a socket is? And my wife, she's poor, ignorant, blind, hillbilly. You don't know nothing about tools. And she don't even know how many I need. But she's like, you've already got sockets. I'm like, I don't have any sockets like that. You can have quarter inch sockets. You can have 3/8 inch sockets. You have 1/2 inch sockets. You have 3/4 drive sockets. You can have shallow sockets. You can have deep well sockets. You can have, now they make a mid-length socket when them two won't work. You can have 6-point sockets. You can have 12-point sockets. You can have swivel sockets. Y'all know what a socket is? You can have impact sockets. You get, nuts. You get, a nut off of a bolt. You know, you screw them off. But everyone's a tool. Everyone's got a particular place. Everyone's got a particular spot. Churches are like that, but guess what? Y'all were like that too. God, you know, you heard it say, when He made, He broke the mold. Uh-oh. I'm shattering litters, or wiggling. He said, He broke the mold. I'm sorry, I'm getting it worked up hither. Now listen. You're a designer model. You're not an accident. When you were born, Mama, 80 years ago, right? I told her, I asked her this morning, I said, you 50? You're like, no. But 80 years ago, God needed my mama. When God made me, He needed me, where I was, where I was born, the hair, my skin, what He put inside of me, all this is His. He needed me. A lot of people wonder what in the world for, but I'm telling you, He needed me. He needed you. And we're not one better than another. I mean, Preacher Kirk Grant here with one of those pointed duck hats walking around trying to be Lord over God's heritage. But he needed a Brother Kirk Grant. He put him here. And guess what? He needed you where He made you, and He put you where He put you, and you have a particular person, and that's the reason why you're here, and that's the reason you're not in heaven. I don't know if you quarter inch drive or half inch drive or deep weld or impact or swivel. I have no idea, but God needed you. You're in God's box, and He's going to reach in there, and He's going to pull you out if you're willing.
Right.
You understand? They're God's tools. I hope you understand that. So, right? Surely you understand that. I believe you do. Anybody don't like tools like my wife? Okay, good, good. She's all by herself out there somewhere. All right, now look. He says, we're nothing. Now look, verse number 6. He says, I have planted. Okay, he's using like farming. He says, Apollos watered. They was talking about knocking on doors a little bit ago and not getting, I think Preacher Benton used to say, don't worry about the yield. Our job is to plow and plant the field. God's going to give the yield. The Bible here says, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. It's of the Spirit. If He doesn't call, it's not going to get done. If He doesn't do the work, it's not going to get done. The Bible says, watch this now. He says, so then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth. He says zero plus zero. See, nothing plus nothing. But God giveth the increase. It's God who does this work. It's God. I mean, I can't talk to a dead man and make him get up. I can't give sight to a blind man. I can't give hearing to a blind man. It's God. And I can't save a soul. All I can do is plant and water. And if God speaks and does, and you yield, or who are you talking to, then God gives the increase. My soul, all I am just a socket. My soul. The worker's the one that does it. The worker, he turns and he does. Now watch him now. He says, he that planteth and he that watereth are one. That's that new math. Zero plus zero equals one. Huh? That's strange. Sorry, Miss K. I got some papers that you counted some stuff wrong on my boys. All right, now he said, now he that planteth and he that watereth are one. Nothing plus nothing equals one. And every man. I'm sorry, women, y'all left out. No, every man, every human, every person, it's a general term, every man shall receive his own, what's that next word? Reward. Now, behold, I come quickly and my reward is with me, he says. Understand? The Bible says, shall receive his own reward according to his what? Own labor. It's like here when you're a Christian, when you become a Christian, when you're saved, you enter into His business. Okay? You have a job. Eventually, one day, He's going to come and He's going to evaluate. He's going to evaluate your performance. And if He will give you a reward. You understand? But many, many are not even in His business. They're in their own business. They're doing what they want to do. They never come to God. They never got in His toolbox. He wants them to, of course. And He says, I got a purpose for you. But they're too busy worrying about what they want to do. And they've never entered in. They're too busy wanting to do what they want to do. And they've never entered into God's box. And here he tells them. Now he that planteth and he that watereth one. And he shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. God wants you to work. Let me just tell you, there's nothing wrong with good works. I mean, honestly, truly, I hardly ever really preach on the law and grace and it's all about grace. We know it's all about grace. But I tell you what, it seems like a lot of people are scared to death about good works. I'm not talking about legalism. I'm talking about good works. God wants you to be an example of good works. He wants you to be a pattern of good works. A pattern is what shows you what you ought to keep and what you ought to get away of. You know the pattern, you cut it out. That's what you ought to be doing. You're supposed to be a pattern of good works. And here he says, you're all rewarded according to his own labor. Now here we go. He says, for we are what? Laborers. Your own labor. So here he says you need to be working. Let me ask you, what are you doing? Really, what are you really doing in God's shop? What are you doing? I know people and they think the work of God is coming to church. No. See, this is for us. This is like practice. You know, my analogy is going to continue on. See, Brother K, Preacher K, Pastor K, Brother Kirchinger, I guarantee you telemarketers have a time. Because I know what they do with my name. And my goodness, his is like alphabet soup. And but I know he has a hard time. But see, here it is. He says, your own labor. Your own labor. He is like, in a fashion, I know this isn't very good, this is Scottology, okay? Scotty Styles, the way I call it. He's like the coach. God's the owner. He's God, the owner. He looks around and he chooses and he calls and he wants you to be on his team, you see. He wants you to be on his team. But he put Brother K here as the coach. And the coach is calling practice. And the coach says, this is how it's supposed to be for offense. And this is how it's supposed to be for defense. And the coach said, this is what you got to do to endure. And I got to get you in condition. Because we got a game out here, and we got to play this game, and I got to get you about right, you understand? And you need to work on your jump shot. Are you, y'all like that? And we all about ball up there. But see, he's the coach. You see, he's the coach, and you come to practice, and he builds you up, and he says, forward, forward, forward. You say, wait a minute now, what's the game? Every single thing you go through every day. Life. And people say, why would God let me go through this? It's so you can win the game. I mean, if I pick these boys up and set them up right here and say, these are the greatest ball players in the whole world, how many of you would believe it? None. You know why? It's because they never played nobody. They never played in the high school league or Christian college, and then they never go to the college league and beat anybody. They never go to the NBA and beat anybody. If we just said it was the greatest and they never had any trials, right, man, that'd just be lip service. Right. So here your coach, he's telling everybody, listen, we gotta get you in shape. Here's Brother Crouch today. He was sitting here teaching us about Daniel in the weeks, giving us knowledge, giving us this stuff. Your Sunday school, you're in practice. You had never even got to the game yet. God's going to give you the opportunity to show what you are. And one of these days you're going to stand before Him and He's going to say, this is some of my players. This is what we're doing. Do y'all remember that game? Do y'all remember that game? And they're going to look around and they're going to say, thank God for my pastor. I remember he preached that message. Hey, God gave the increase in your soul or something up that line. But then we're all going to turn and say, God, thank you for what you've done. But you know what? Your pastor's always going to have a special place.
Yeah.
Your coach always has a special place.
Right.
I mean, he might call to play. This is where we're going. This is what we're doing. This is how we're going to do it. And your coach is calling you and he's telling you. And here y'all are on the team.
Mm-hmm.
You're on God's team. He's the coach. Some of you are in a game, a trial. See, every game is a trial. Every game is a trial.
Yeah.
How you doing? If you don't come to practice, I doubt you're doing too much out there at the game.
Right.
I mean, I'll be honest with you. If you're not coming to practice, yeah, I doubt you're not doing too much out there in the game. And you know what? You fuss. Why would God let me go through this? So you can show how wonderful He is.
Yeah.
That's why God wants you to go through it. He wants you to show the world that you're one of His players from way back here. All net, Brother Hill. Right there. Did you see that? He wants you to show what you are. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
He's your coach. Or a player. Now listen. Let's continue on. All right. Verse number 9, it says, we are laborers. We're workers. Or we're, if you like, players. Together with God. You see that? He's worked hitherto and He will work. He's not up there just saying, okay, y'all, go ahead, get at it. Guess what? He's out here right in the midst of it. What was it? General Moore at Vietnam, he said, I'll be the first one off the helicopter and the last one back on. He wasn't sitting back somewhere and everything going on. Guess what? Your pastor's not like that. You better not be that way with your children. Amen. So we're laborers together with God. Look what he says. Y'all are God's husbandry. Y'all are God's building. Understand? All of you. Now look what he says. According to the grace of God which I earned. Is that what it says? Oh, that's not what it says. Which is given me. Grace is free. Grace is free. You cannot earn it. It flows down from heaven above. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound. I don't know where I've said it, but I've said it a lot of times. Me and Ginger sit at that kitchen table right there. Grace is heavenly spinach. Old Popeye, he'd be getting the stuffing beat out of him by Bluto or Brutus, whichever one you want to look at, whichever version you read. And about that time, he was getting the stuffing beat out of him, and about that time, the spinach would go in his mouth, and somehow or another, and business picked up then. I'm here to tell you, let us come boldly into the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. You see, when God lets His grace, I looked it up in the concordance just that morning, I'll never forget it. The divine influence upon your heart is reflected in your life. Reflector. We're nothing. All we do is just reflect what God gives in to us. Do you understand? I could never understand how to say it. I used to think, well, the illustration I'll use is drinking. It's not a good one to use in church. You pour that junk down your throat, it affects you, even though people don't see it inside of you. They can see it as effects on you outside. Be not drunk with wine, whereas in excess, but be you filled with the Spirit. Be you controlled of the Spirit. If you have the grace of God in you, and you're a Christian, you just walk different.
Right.
Yeah. And here you are going this way and that way, and you are something different. It's the grace of God. You are what you are by the grace of God. He put it inside of you. Now here he says, if you get back over there, he says here, according to the grace of God, which is given unto me. He said in 1 Corinthians 15, he said, I am what I am by the grace of God, the grace that worketh in me over there in 1 Corinthians 15. Look what he says. As a wise, what? Master builder. One time in the New Testament, this word, master builder. It just doesn't mean like he's a architect sitting back somewhere and drawing everything up. The word is archa. I better look this up. Can you speak Greek?
Good.
Anybody in here? Probably you do, don't you? Yeah. Don't say nothing if I mess up. All right. Architectron. Sounds like a transformer, don't it? Architectron. What it means is he draws it up. He's also the worker. He drew it what it's supposed to look like. He designed how it was supposed to go. He's also the one out there building it and doing it. Paul said, hey, I got a plan. But I just didn't sit back and tell everybody else what to do it. Is that what you do, Pastor? You just, well, we're going to have a church. We're going to have visitation. We're going to do this right over here. I just kind of think people ought to live. Listen, it ain't worth a salt unless he's out there building with y'all. And I know he does.
Yeah.
I know he does. I know all of you do. Architectron. Paul said, I'm a wise master builder. He said, here I am. He says, as his manner was. Y'all remember what he would do? He would go into town and he would look for the synagogue where all the Jews were. He'd get in there and he would do his thing with there and they'd get mad and after he reasoned with them and telling them about the Messiah, he would walk out and then he'd go to the Gentiles. He didn't go to the Gentiles first or the Jews would never listen to him. But as his manner was, as his custom was, he'd go to the Gentiles for a while and then as his custom was, they'd beat the devil out of him and throw him in prison. I didn't get that one. That's the way it happened. But he got out there and he worked. He designed it. Listen, what is your plan? Do you have a plan for your family, for your neighbor? Have you, on your knees, pray, say, God, how can I win them? How can I talk to them? How can I talk to my kids? How in the world can I talk to my family? Have you thought about it? Have you prayed about it? And listen, don't just stay down here trying to get it all figured out. Get up here and labor. Get your hands dirty in it trying to do something. All right, he said, I'm a wise master builder. Let's go on. He said, I have laid the what? Now look at here. Now watch how many times this word foundation is going right here. He said, I have laid the foundation. This foundation is Jesus Christ. He said, he's the chief cornerstone, the Bible says, which the builder set at naught, and now he's made head of the corner. He asked Peter one time, you know, Peter was always like this. He asked Peter, he said, "Whom do men say that I am?" And he said, Peter spoke up, and he said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And you know what he said? He didn't say, "I'm going to make you the first pope." That's not what he said. He said, "Upon this rock, I'll build my church." This statement, this premise, that what you said, listen, you're part of His church if you believe on Him and trust Him. He is the foundation, do you understand? It goes all the way deep. It's eternal. He's from everlasting. He is God. The foundation goes all the way down. There's no other foundation. There's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. He is the foundation. Everything starts on the what? The foundation. Look what He says right hither. He says, a wise master builder laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereupon. Let who? Every man take heed. See that? Take heed how he buildeth their own. Take heed. What's that one verse over there in John? 2 John, it says, "Look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought or worked, by that we receive a full reward." You have to be careful what you do after you're saved. It's just not antinomianism where there's no law, there's not matter what you do. Hey, listen, you're on His team. You're out there, you're making a difference. You're striving for the mastery. You're temperate in all things. I think it was Howells that said the champion was there and he was working out and he was trying to do all this, and the man would hold up and he'd say, "You want a piece of chocolate cake?" He said, "You want a piece of chocolate cake?" And the champion looked at it and he'd say, "Oh, you can't have that chocolate cake. You can't have that chocolate cake." And he said, "You want a chocolate cake?" And about that time, the boxer, he grabbed a hold of him and went, "Oh," he said, "I want to be the champion chocolate cake eater." Listen, you have to be temperate. There's things you can't do, player. There's things you can't do. If you like this, a soldier. There's things you can't, you know, you have to pay attention to how you're doing. Now look what he says. He says, every man take heed how he buildeth. Here he is working again. Look what he says, verse number 11. For other foundation no man lay, and that is laid, which is who? Jesus Christ. Now, may God help us. Here we go. Now, if any man, as you standing here, and you already have the foundation, you understand? He's not talking to you, lost man. He's not talking to you, ma'am. He's talking about you that have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, and now you have started. It all started that day you received Him. It all started that day you believed on Him. He's the foundation. But you got to take heed what you do after. Here He's the foundation. He says, He says, "For other foundation no man lay, that which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this," what? Foundation. "Gold, silver, precious stones." I used to do it like this. Now, the gold, I'll say that. Silver, see that? Precious stones. It's a gable roof, Brother K.
Yes, sir.
Precious stones. Now, you know what? God's not making any more gold. Y'all know that? You didn't know that? And gold doesn't deteriorate. It doesn't rust. It doesn't go away. You get mad, chop it up into little teeny baby pieces and throw it out in the yard, and if somebody's diligent enough, they can get it all back up. Just pan it away, and it comes all right back up. It's like the Word of God. You can take like 1 ounce of gold and make a wire that goes 60 miles. Just goes a long way. The Word of God, you know, you can take 1 ounce of gold and beat it flat and make a covering for a building like 100 by 100. Never make any more. I guess that's the reason why when they made that golden calf, God grinded it up and put it in there and said, "Y'all drink it." I don't think they wanted after that. But all gold's recyclable and done this way and that way. Gold is eternal. Gold shows purity. Gold shows deity. Here it is. If you build upon that foundation, if you build upon Jesus Christ, gold. If you build upon it, silver, another precious metal. I used to think that precious stones was, you know, diamonds and rubies and sapphires. And the Bible talks about the gates being garnished with precious stones. But you know what else it could be? It could be granite, and it could be marble, and it could be something that lasted forever, like over there in Greece, that those buildings still standing. Precious stones. Stones, isn't there? Nothing about the word stones over there. He's able to raise up these stones unto himself. Just rocks out there. It's just a permanent thing, right? And then he says here, if you use gold, silver, precious stones, that's a good thing. That's eternal stuff. Y'all understand? Y'all remember that story? That story back when y'all were little? Y'all remember that story? It's about the three little sheep? And one of them went out there and he built him a house. He built it out of straw. That other little sheep, he went out here and he built him a house out of sticks. Y'all remember? Y'all look like you remember stories. Just sticks and the other straw and sticks and oh, that one. What? No, sheep. Y'all got the wrong version. What do y'all mean? You got three little sheep. You got sticks and three little sheep straws. And that one little sheep, he made a precious stone house out of brick. And he was waiting for the chief shepherd to come back, wasn't he? Wasn't he waiting for the chief shepherd to come back? Hey, the chief shepherd and bishop of our souls. Isn't that what it says over there? Looking for the blessed hope of the glorious spirit of the great God and our Savior. Listen, I ain't no pig. Hey, people that use what God gives them for their self and gobble it down, days and breath and life, and whom we live and move and have our being, they're little pigs. Thank God I'm a sheep. Listen, what are you building out of? What are you building out of? Gold? Silver? Precious stones? Some marble? Some granite? Some quartz? Something that's going to last? Or are you going, you know, I hate to say it, like a pig? That's it, like a pig. That's what the Lord says right hither, if I can find my glasses. When I poke my eye out, you take over. All right, here we go. He says, gold, silver, precious stone. What's the next three things? Wood, hay, and stubble. Just like that story about them sheepishes. Right? Y'all had the wrong version. Y'all have to take it back to the Greek. He said right here, wood, hay, and stubble. Now look what happens. The chief shepherd's going to come. He ain't going to huff and pluff and blow it down. He's going to come with some fire.
Right.
What does fire do to wood, hay, and stubble? It burns it down. And he's going to blow on it. It's going to burn it down by the fire that comes out of his mouth, I guess. Look what he says right here. He said, every man, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ to receive the things done in this body, whether they be good or bad, which means worthless. We're going to stand before him. Look what he says. He says, every man's work shall be made manifest. That means made known. It will be declared for the day. This is the judgment seat of Christ, one of the seven judgments. The day shall declare it because it shall be revealed by what? Fire. The chief shepherd's coming to the sheep's house and he's going to set it on fire. He's going to come to the sheep's house and he's going to, you're going to come out there. He's going to say, what you been doing, Brother Hale? Brother Pat, what you been doing, Mr. Sheep? And he's going to say, I've been working for you. He said, so be it. He said, let's see how it does. When you put gold in the fire and you heat it up and you start stirring it up, all it does is get pure. Yeah. Same thing with silver. How many cords of rock do you burn a year in your fireplace? Not too many. Pretty rough to burn it. Marble don't go that well. Look what he says. It shall be revealed by fire and the fire shall try. That word's used 28 times in your Bible. It means prove your own self. Same word. Prove your own self. Let a man examine himself. That word, try. Prove himself. Examine himself. Prove your own selves. See if you're of the faith, the Bible says over there. The Bible says, though your faith be as gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire. It's the same word. Right here, he says, every man, it's going to be tried, revealed by fire, every man's work of what sort it is. Now watch. If any man's work abide, he hath built the works. Believer, don't be afraid to work. Get out there and do something. That's the reason you're here and not in heaven. God wants you to do something, some work. But guess what? What sort is it? Are you doing it for yourself to puff yourself up? Are you doing it for yourself to get at the head of the game? For everybody to look at you or do this, that, or the other? God knows your heart. The Bible says He trieth the hearts. And everybody's work, sooner or later, He's going to let it be revealed, the judgment seat of Christ. This is of course, why others are going through the tribulation, Brother Kraut, here are up there with the judgment seat of Christ. Look what He says. He said, if any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a what? A reward. Can you imagine this little sheep, he's so proud. He's so proud. The sheep, right? We have a shepherd, right? We have an under-shepherd. We have our coach. He tells us what to do. He tells us how to work. He tries to prepare us. He tries to get us in shape to get out there. He tells you how to play the game. No, you shouldn't be doing that right there. You need to be over there on that corner over there. What did I tell you about shooting? You got to be decent. Listen, that little pig, he's so proud of his little straw castle. You know, the only goal he's got is that little screw that holds the receptacle on. One little screw. The chief shepherd comes. The judge is here. He's in lost his reward. I don't want to be like that. I might be. I may be deceiving my own self. I need to be proving my own self. I may be checking my own self. I don't want it to be like that when I stand before my Lord and Savior. I don't want it to be like that. God knows I don't want it to be like that. I hope I can even have better direction from my coach at Tabernacle, telling me what I need to be doing and helping me and telling me things I need to work on and telling me how I need to do. You see. But then he says, if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer what? Loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Think about Lot. Man, so much of his life went up in smoke. So much of Lot's life went up in smoke. He had so much. His just Lot, that righteous man, Bible says, he was just that. Like vexed his righteous by the deeds of the ungodly. He was talking about Sodom and Gomorrah when he said ungodly. That filthy conversation of the wicked talking about Sodom and Gomorrah. You get my drift? Filthy, ungodly. He said he walked out of there. He had his wife. The Bible says she was behind him for some reason or another. Remember Lot's wife? She turned around and looked. Think Lot was like, honey, you still there? Honey? I bet he was wanting to go, where's she at? He couldn't. Look at it. The Bible says she was behind him. Who told us that she was a pillar of salt? God did. Much of his life went up in smoke. I don't want mine to. Listen, if any man's works abide, if he built thereupon, he shall receive a word of reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Watch him. Know ye not that y'all are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. I believe that's the sin unto death. God says, I can't leave you out there anymore, children. You got to come home. You come home. I can't let you stay out there and do this. No, you got to come home. He says, which temple y'all are? Let no man deceive himself. If any man shall among you seem to be wise in the world, let him become a fool, that he may be wise. I guess we got time. Can I show you something? Can I? Y'all all right? Let me show you something in Luke 19. Well, I'm trying my best to wrap it up. My question is, when did you get on a foundation? When did you dig deep and go to something solid like the Word of God and get on the foundation? When did you start? How are you building thereupon? Or what are you doing? Are you just working and building and going and doing? And it looks like maybe you're doing something. Maybe you don't even look like you're doing nothing at all. Watch here. I feel like the Lord wants me to read it. Maybe so. I believe He does. Let's just start reading right here. And we'll start reading 19:13. He called his 10 servants, delivered them 10 pounds. He gave every single one of us in here the same Word of God, the same Holy Ghost, the same day with the same amount of hours. And he says, what are you going to build me? He said, I've given you provision. What are you going to do? Are we going to build him a straw hut, a stick hut, wood, hay, and stubble hut? Or are we going to try to build him something eternal? He delivered them all 10 pounds. And he says right here, I mean, he gave it to them, everything we need. He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that you ask or think, according to His power that worketh in you. Here He gives it that. And look what He says. He says, occupy till I come. The word occupy, a lot of people think it means just staying there. Occupation. You work. Work till I come. But His citizens hated Him. It's talking about Israel, of course. They wouldn't receive Him. Of course, they crucified. We all did. But, you know, sent a message to Jackson, we will not have this man reign over us. And it came to pass that when he was returned, having received the kingdom, he's returning, he's going to receive his kingdom. Here he comes, he's calling us up. That he commanded his servants to be called unto him, to whom he had given the money, that he might know how much every man had gained by his trading, by what he did here and what he did there. Then came the first and said, Lord, thy pound, everything I am, thy grace, have gained 10 pounds. And he said unto him, well done, or well, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in a whole lot. Is that what it says? Very little. Very little. You've just been faithful. Have thou hard over 10 cities. And the second came saying, Lord, thy pound have gained what? 5 pounds. And he said, likewise to him, be thou also over 5 cities. And another came saying, Lord, behold, here is thy pound, which I've kept laid up in a napkin. For I feared thee, because thou art an austere man, and thou takest up, that thou laidest not down, and reapest that thou didst not sow. And he said unto him, out of thine own mouth will I judge thee, thou wicked servant. Call him a wicked servant. Thou knewest that I was an austere man. That means severe, rigid, stern. He's going to be a right judge. Taking up that I laid not down, reaping I did not sow. Wherefore then gavest thou not my money to the bank, that I might come, might have acquired mine own with usury? He said unto them that stood by, take from him the pound, and give it to him that hath 10 pounds. He lost his reward. They said unto him, well, what hath 10 pounds? He said, for I say unto you, that unto every one which hath shall be given, and from him that hath not even, which he hath not, shall be taken away from him. Then his enemies, look what about his enemies. Not his servants, but his enemies. Those mine enemies, which would not that I should reign over them, bring hither and slay them before me. Listen. Y'all hear me? Are you God's servant this morning? Are you God's player this morning? Are you God's soldier this morning? When did you enter into His ranks? Can you imagine? The Bible talks of crowns that the 24 elders take off their head and throw down. I was going to give them to you. Hey, Brother Scott remembers them? No? Y'all know that. It's girl. How you spell girl? I don't know yet. Still learning. Anybody? Y'all know how to spell girl? G-I-R-L. But this is a girl. G-I-R-R-L. One crown for every one of your fingers. How many fingers you have? Thumbs count as a finger, by the way. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. G, crown of glory. Shepherd's crown, Brother Rick. Faithful, being an example. Listen, mom, dad, teacher, neighbor. You can be faithful and an example. You're like a shepherd. Crown of glory. G-I, the incorruptible crown. You're putting your heart into the work of God. You're giving it to all. Crown, I always go righteousness first. Seek ye first the kingdom of righteousness. Kind of righteousness. Okay? Crown of rejoicing. That's like soul winner's crown. A witness for him. Are you telling? Are you speaking it? And a crown of life. You endure temptation. You endure testing. Once a girl. G-I-R-R-L. The Bible speaks of 5 crowns. I wonder, at the great white throne judgment, maybe there's somebody in here that's never really truly received Jesus Christ, that doesn't know them as their Savior. It's never been put in His army, put on His squad, put in His team, put in His family. So as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. Believe it on Him is not confounded. He fell on that stone and was broken, but you're not going to let that stone fall on you and grind you to powder. And I wonder if some at the great white throne judgment, and the Bible says the dead were judged out of those things which are written in the books, their works. I just kind of wonder. Satan says, you know what? You've been a good soldier for me. I'm going to give you something. I know lost people that revel in the fact that they lost. Turning people away from God. Being wicked examples. Making people, destroying people away from God. Living a life of impurity and lust and carnality. I'm talking about the lost. I wonder if Satan has crowns for them and said, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Maybe somebody's in here like that. They're away from God. Bible says the dead were judged out of those things which are written in the books according to their works. It's going to be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon on the day of judgment than it will be for that city. Sodom and Gomorrah, he says. He said the Pharisees have the greater damnation. I wonder if Satan himself in wicked, God's going to show you what you are and what you've done and how you've turned pity from the God of heaven. Listen, we're in a war. Faithful servant, a faithful soldier. What's waiting on you? Number one, Christian, are you living like a little sheep? Are you living like those pigs y'all told me about? Either going to have eternal reward or it's going to be burnt up. And you may be a Christian. But I don't think it's because you lived ungodly to the devil. I think it's just because you didn't work for God. But more than all that, I think more importantly, waiting on you, her, him, young lady, young boy. What's waiting on you? Do you stand before God, knees knocking? Look over there at your mom and your daddy and say, can you not help me? Sir, looking over there at your wife and saying, can you not help me? Looking at your mom and saying, I thought it was. I really did think I was. And I've already heard him say, depart from me. You are from different. I never knew you. Well, a crown of unrighteousness be stuck on your head. Whosoever's name not found written in the book of life, cast into the lake of fire. I believe if Jesus Christ has crowns, 5, girl. I believe Satan says, I'm glad you're working for me. See if you can't destroy some more things. It won't be long. My reward's with me. It'll be yours. Stay ahead. Close your eyes. You got some searching of your own heart to do today. I have searching of my own heart to do today. What kind of player are you? You're not faithful to practice. You hear what the coach is saying to do, and oh no, it doesn't matter. I ask you, is one of these days the Lord's going to say, this is best in defense, this is best in offense, this is my most improved. We look at him saying, oh no. This is because of you, God's what I am. What I am? I remember what I wasn't, nothing, doing nothing. That day I called on you and got on the foundation, something happened. You're doing something with it. Sir, are you a Christian? Are you a Christian? Are you saved? If you died right now, you know for certain you go to heaven?
Are you certain? Don't tell me I'm working on it. I'm trying my best. That means you're seeking your own power to get there. Are you a Christian? I'm going to ask you a question. If you feel like the Holy Ghost has spoke to your soul today for something, I wish you'd look up here at me. Don't raise your hand. Don't do nothing. Just look at me. Would you do that? I pray that you know my Lord, that God can change your life, put you into the ministry, and His reward is with Him when He comes. If you need to do business with God, I pray that you'd move. Let's pray. Lord, I pray you'd bless the preaching of your word. The best way I knew how to do it, God. Somehow or another, may it bring forth fruit for your glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
Perhaps someone here is here today that needs to trust Jesus as your Savior. Perhaps He has spoken to you about other things. Let's stand. We're going to sing, I Surrender All. And make use of the altars. If you'd like someone to pray with you, just let that be known. But let's sing, I Surrender All, and let God speak to you as we sing.